Welcome to the NHL Wraparound Podcast, featuring Neil Smith, President, General Manager of the 1994 Stanley Cup champion New York Rangers, and longtime ESPN NHL veteran Vic Morin. Together, they share no-nonsense opinions on news and issues around the National Hockey League. Whether you're a casual or diehard fan, each episode of NHL Wraparound will leave you more informed. Now, here's your hosts, Neil and Vic.
The Stanley Cup Final has finally arrived. The Florida Panthers taking on the Edmonton Oilers. Vic and Neil with you, and we'll be joined shortly by Eddie Olchuk, once again from TNT. He joined us for the conference finals, and now will join us for the final round preview. And we're also going to have a very special Stanley Cup Final prediction that you're not going to want to miss. But first, a word from our friends at Migray.
From Howdy Hughes, from Béliveau to Bedard, we're your source for game-worn jerseys. Go to Migray.com, Meigray.com, to start your collection today. Get real. Get it from Migray.
Welcome back to NHL Wraparound. So, Neil, last week I had stuff in my craw. How about you?
You know, it's getting old on me, this stupidity of touching or not touching the conference trophy. That trophy, I'm old enough to remember when the Prince of Wales Trophy, which is now given to the Eastern Conference champion of the playoffs, this year being the Florida Panthers, last year being the Florida Panthers. I remember when it was given out in the original six, and it was first place in the regular season, and it was a big deal to get the Prince of Wales Trophy, not that much below winning the Stanley Cup. The Stanley Cup was a tournament that went on to try to reward teams that may have had injuries during the regular season. And now, of course, you win the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference by being the team that goes to the final. This year, of course, being Florida in the East, and in the West, of course, being the Edmonton Oilers. But this craziness of not touching the trophy for some silly reason that, well, this isn't good enough, we need to win the Stanley Cup before we'll touch a trophy. Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, come on, you worked your whatever off to get 12 wins in the playoffs, grueling rounds in the playoffs, three rounds, opening round, second round, conference final. You win the trophy, you know, let the fans enjoy it. Don't stand around like a bunch of ninnies with Bill Daly just standing there taking a picture and going, oh, we can't touch that.
That worked out okay for Mess in 94, touching the cup, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did.
Yeah, I mean, not only did he touch it, he picked it up, showed it to the fans, brought Adam Graves and Brian Leetch over to celebrate. So, you know, a little bit of data here also, because I think the Edmonton Oilers actually may have blown the cup even before the final starts, because since 1997, two-thirds of the instances where one team touched the trophy and the other team didn't, the team that touched it has won two-thirds of the time.
And this year, nobody touched it, so maybe nobody's going to win.
It's possible. And look, Florida clinched before the Oilers did, so the Oilers had the opportunity to buck this trend. So, like I said, maybe this cup final is over before it even starts.
Well, it's our privilege again to have Eddie O come back from TNT and grace us with his presence. And Eddie, I got to tell you, you guys do a fantastic job on TNT. But I don't think I'm prejudiced, even though I love Kenny Albert. You and me were together for the Stanley Cup. I love Brian Boucher from my days of working with him on NHL Network. So I don't think I'm prejudiced, but I think you guys do a tremendous job.
Well, I appreciate Vic and Neil. Nice. Great to be with you again. And I'm super lucky to be able to work with two not only great broadcasters, but just two unbelievable people, as you guys know. So we're on vacation. Our friends over at ESPN, my buddy, my former teammate, Ray Ferraro, a guy that you know very well, Neil, from your days in New York with the Rangers, and Razor's cup of coffee with the Blue Shirts. So I get to watch them, and looking forward to a little family time here moving forward. So nice to be with you guys, and a great time of year. You got the Belmont Stakes running up at Saratoga this weekend, and there is a hockey and horse racing tie, by the way, if I can get to that really quick. And then, of course, you got game one of the Stanley Cup final. Vinny and Teresa Viola, who own the Florida Panthers, own a horse and own many horses and many good horses, I might add. And they've won the Kentucky Derby a couple of times, I believe. They have a horse running in the Belmont Stakes about an hour and a half before puck drop of game one of the Stanley Cup final. And it's a horse that I like, and I'm going to get my feet wet on, if you know what I mean. The name of the horse is Mindframe. They co-own that horse with Mike Rapoli. So could you imagine that daily double, pucks and ponies? You win the Belmont Stakes up at Saratoga Springs, New York, and then an hour and a half later, your team, the team that you own, is trying to win game one of the Stanley Cup final. That is the ultimate of ownership, and I hope they hit the ultimate daily double on that Saturday night of game one and winning the Belmont Stakes, because I have a little investment on number 10, Mindframe, to win the Belmont Stakes.
Good for you. Good for you.
And I'm sure that in the quadrifecta, the numbers that you're probably not going to pick are 2, 5, 4, 3, because that's the number of miles that will be traveled between the two points. It's going to be the longest traveled final ever. So you certainly drew the long straw on this one. But let's get into the final here. Edmonton won both regular season games. And took out Tampa, Boston, and the Rangers en route to the final. Edmonton gets in by beating Los Angeles, Vancouver, and Dallas. But first question for you, Eddie, is the growing pains. I think both teams have had them to get to this point. And, you know, you could look at the Islanders in the late 70s and early 80s, the Oilers right behind them, and more recently, Tampa Bay, Colorado, and Vegas all had to work towards getting to their cup final. So how do you see this playing out for these two teams?
Well, the first thing, Vic, and you make the great point about, the distance traveled for this series. And Neil can remember our cup final. I mean, going from New York to Vancouver isn't exactly a hop, skip, and a jump. But the one thing I will say, and it's something that people should take notice of, is that in the conference finals, the games were every other night. Between Florida and New York, obviously it's not that long, but the Dallas-Edmonton is a pretty long jaunt. But in the cup final, if it goes the distance, my quick math says that there are 4 2-day breaks in this series. So I don't think that the travel, in my opinion, will be as taxing as maybe it might seem on the surface. So that's just kind of one person's opinion. So I think that the Vancouver-Edmonton matchup will be a lot closer to the Florida-Edmonton matchup than it was the Dallas-Edmonton, because Vancouver, under Rick Tocchet, who will be the coach of the year and has been voted the coach of the year, their team contested every footage of ice in that series, and it took its toll on Edmonton in that series. I don't think Vancouver is as skilled or as polished offensively as Florida is. So I think Florida looks at that series and goes, okay, we know we can't get caught taking 5 and 6 penalties. They're going to take 3 or 4. That's just the way that they are, and they're going to have to kill off. If they give up one power play goal a game, would they be happy with that? I would think that they would. I don't think you could start giving up 2 and 3 like what happened in games 5 and 6 in the Western Conference Finals with Dallas, where they gave up the 4 power play goals in 2 games. So I think it's going to be on the Florida side. I think it's going to be a physical series. I think they are going to challenge, and they're going to try and pound the Edmonton Oilers. The question is that does the Edmonton power play, can the Edmonton power play win them a couple of games? And look at the way Stuart Skinner has played here recently. Like, he played unbelievable in game 6. Like, he was dynamite. He was dynamite in game 5, period 3, because we had those games on TNT. So I saw every second of the series. But I find it to be a real interesting series, because you arguably have two of the best, what would you say, 8 players in the league, right? I mean, Connor obviously right at the top. And then you could put Draisaitl in the top you know, six or seven after, you could argue or whatever. But when those guys are going, and I think they're a better team at 5-on-5 when they're split up than they are together. And I know that Chris Knobloch will put them together at times after, you know, after penalty kills or coming, you know, TV timeout around the corner. But I just expect Florida, their game plan will be is to play that the way that they play. I mean, they have a mentality, it's a bully mentality, and that's the way they've had success, and they've got depth, and you got Barkov playing the way that he is. You know, and obviously Bobrovsky is playing at the top of his game, maybe in his whole career, when you look at the run he's been on here over the course of the last year. So I think it's going to be a hell of a series, but, you know, I think Florida will win the physical edge, and I think over the course of time that will pay dividends for them.
Eddie, you know, I just want to go back to game six for a minute. I have to, because it's one of the strangest games, playoff games, that I've ever seen. And, you know, I had studied hard before the game about everything, and so that I could predict what was going to happen during that game. And I was completely wrong after those early two goals. You know, McDavid's histrionics, and then Hyman's quick shot when he was left alone there. And then all of a sudden the game, and actually the game then was over, which we didn't know it watching it, but the game was over. And then Edmonton only gets 10 shots, including those two, the eight more after that. And Dallas can't beat them, and they only got 10 shots. Now, I know that means that Skinner's played good, but what's your view on that game? Because to me, it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, being in the building, like I thought Dallas played, and I said at the top of the show in our open on TNT, Neil, I said that having done, you know, I'd done a lot of Dallas games prior. Up until that point in game six, I didn't think, Vic and Neil, I didn't think that Dallas had got to an A game. And they played well. They got to their A game in stretches in the series, but they just never got a look at who plays a complete game. I mean, very rarely, but you know, I mean, look at you play 50 minutes. That's probably you start talking. That's an A game. Look, I think the gauntlet ended up catching up with Dallas, quite frankly. I mean, they play Vegas seven games. They got down. Let's remember, they got down 2-0 in that series at home. They lost the first two games of playoffs at home, and then they eventually won that series in seven. A lot of people had Vegas going to the Cup final. They play Colorado in round two, that being Dallas. A lot of people had Colorado going to the Cup final. They beat them in six, and they played, and they won. Remember, they won three games in Colorado in that series. Colorado was the best home team in the regular season and into the playoffs. Dallas won all three games, and their game four, which I did, was an A-plus game. That was as good as a game that but they just never got back to that game. And I thought in game six was their best game of the series from start to finish. And I know they fell behind, Neil, to the heart of your question. Those guys, you give them two chances, they scored both. Like I didn't like the goal that Hyman scored, because I mentioned to Brian Boucher during the broadcast. I just know from an offensive guy, and when I see goaltenders move, I kind of look and go, God, it kind of seemed like he was, you know, he was cheating to the glove side, and then he just kind of just opened up the short side on the blocker, and Hyman went short side. Now, look, this is a 50-goal scorer, so he knows what the hell he is doing. But I said to Kenny Albert in that broadcast, Neil and Vic, I said to him, I go, this has got to be some kind of a record here to go to the Cup final in a clinching game where a team only has eight shots or seven shots at that particular time. And I'll be honest with you, I went back and watched the first period. I only saw two shots on goal. The third shot that they gave, it ended up being Lindell ended up shooting the puck himself back towards the net. They gave him a shot on goal on that. So they had two shots, and they scored on both of them. Now, look, give them credit. I mean, the McDavid goal was, I used the word awesomeness. And I don't even know if that's a word or not, but that's the only thing I could describe it. I'm just like, what did I just see? He's sitting there knifing in, and he's doing this, and he's pulling in. And now he got a little lucky when the puck rolled on him and the puck was in front of him, and he was able to elevate. But look at great players. They make their own luck. So let's just make that perfectly clear. And then the Hyman goal. So did Dallas deserve better and get a chance to go home for game seven? Yeah, I think they did. But look at Stuart Skinner made some unbelievable stops. They had all the pressure on him, and they just weren't able to score. And it's tough to play from behind when you're down in a series. And Look at Edmonton deserved it. There's no other way. They were the better team. And I think the goaltending, Dallas did not lose because of Jake Oettinger. They did not. Dallas did not win. As far as I was concerned, Dallas did not win is because their offense went dry at the wrong time, right? What they have, they had one, I think they went 1-2-1 or 1-1-2 as far as goals. They scored four goals the last three games in the series. And they went like 5-6 periods without scoring a goal. So, you know, it puts a lot of pressure on your team defense. And I think they also ran out of gas, but you know what? That's what we know this firsthand. When you got a chance to eliminate teams, you got to eliminate them, right? Like you could go back in the Colorado series for Dallas. And the last thing I'll wrap up on this, they had a chance to win that series in five games, the Colorado series. And Colorado went into Dallas and win game five. You got to play another game. You know what I mean? You got to play another game. And all of a sudden, what happened in game six and round two? That went to overtime. So, and that went to double overtime, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah. Duchesne wanted a double overtime, right? So, you know, like you could sit there, and I'm a believer of this. At some point, those extra periods, those extra games are going to take its toll on you. And I think for Dallas, you know what? I think they were running on empty and they didn't get to their best game until it was too late and give Edmonton full marks. And they did what they needed to do and were very opportunistic. And their power play got hot and scored four goals in two games. And here they are going into game one against the Florida Panthers for the Stanley Cup.
Eddie, I want to take this behind the bench because the disparity in head coaching experience in the NHL level is somewhat amusing. Paul Maurice, regular season and playoffs, 1,979 games. Chris Knobloch, 87. But he does have Paul Coffey with him, who has done just a tremendous job working with Knobloch and really helping the defensive structure of this club.
Yeah, it's a great point, Vic. We made mention of that on our TNT broadcast often. I'm not a little biased about Coff. I'm a lot biased. I only got a chance to play with him very quickly at the end of his career in Chicago, but great admiration. He's he was a terrific teammate and just an awesome guy. And he really has. Like, he has hit a core. He's challenged his defensemen, talking to a couple of the guys like Ekholm and Bouchard. Coff has told me that, you know, you guys are real friendly and buddy-buddy, but you know what? Like, you guys say you're brothers, and well, you know what? Brothers fight too. Like, they argue. Like, it's okay to get upset with one another every once in a while. So, and you look at Evan Bouchard, the way that he has taken off in his game. How about Evan Bouchard? We'll go reverse order. He's getting coached, on a minutely basis. I don't even know if that's a word either. I'm like a wordsmith here. I don't even know if I'm inventing words or not, but he's with Paul Coffey all the time, right? And we know Coff's, Hall of Fame resume. He's paired up with Mattias Ekholm the last, year and a half, whatever, how many, the exact time that Ekholm has been. You know, by the way, the appetizer to Evan Bouchard's emergence here was Duncan Keith. For 1 year as his partner, right? So Evan Bouchard has Duncan Keith as his partner, and then Dunk retires, and then Mattias Ekholm comes on board, and he looks over and goes, "Oh wow, I go from Dunk to Eck, right?" And then I got Paul. Like, so look at, for him, unbelievable, and right place, right time, and a guy can shoot the puck. Duncan Keith told me, he said, "Edzo, let me just tell you, I don't think I've been around a guy that shoots the puck like this." And that's saying something. Duncan Keith has been around. He's what, a couple gold medals, three Stanley Cups, Norris Trophy. I mean, he's seen it all, right, in his 20-plus years of being around the National Hockey League. So in saying that, Paul Coffey has done wonders. And, obviously, you have to give props to Coach Knobloch and his staff for, finding the right chemistry and the way that they play, and they've improved obviously defensively, and they bought in, and the goaltending has been, you know, really good for the most part. And it's a great story because, look, it's great for our league. It's great for the business when you have two of the greatest players in our game right now that are in the Stanley Cup final. It's great for business. It doesn't matter what sweater they wear. They're the faces of the National Hockey League now. Leon Draisaitl, his contract is coming up after next year. That's for another show for you guys to talk about. Is he worth 14 or 15 million a year? Will he be in Edmonton after, you know, moving forward? But I think it's an unbelievable story. And obviously, considering where they were at the start of the season, here they are, you know, within four wins of going to the Stanley Cup. So it's just a lot of great stories in Edmonton.
Eddie, I got a real quick one for you before we move on to our predictions. But 1986, one of your former teammates that you love to this day, Adam Graves, was playing for the Windsor Spitfires, and his teammates were one Paul Maurice and Peter DeBoer. So those three are still good friends. And what I'm getting to here is Peter DeBoer is still very close friends with Paul Maurice. Peter DeBoer's Dallas Stars just got eliminated by the Edmonton Oilers. Now Edmonton is going to play Paul Maurice's Florida Panthers. How much conversation do you think Paul Maurice and Peter DeBoer will be having on these off days?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, why wouldn't you? And I think that's really important. And obviously, you know, you talk about, Vic mentioned when we talked about this, the, you know, the experience factor of Mo, you never stop learning, right? And in history, as far as I'm concerned, history is great for one, is great for a lot of things. But for me, the greatest is learning from, and you can learn from positives and negatives, wins and losses in our little world, and put it all in perspective. But yeah, absolutely. Like, this is what we talked about. This is what we saw. This is what we tried to get accomplished. Why wouldn't you tap into all those resources? And Neil, you know this. Like, it's just when you know, like when you were a manager, right? There were probably three or four guys that you really relied on and trusted around the league and going, hey, what do you think of this? Right? Like, give me your thoughts, right? It's no different with coaches. Like, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are some guys that, you know, probably think they're a little bit too high on the pedestal where they wouldn't call somebody and you know, God forbid, you know, I ever reached out for help or I, you know, wanted to, you know, share whatever I had going on. But those guys, it's very well documented that, you know, those guys have a great relationship. So I'll be honest with you, I would think that it would be I don't want to say it would be daily, but I think it would be certainly on non-game days and just kind of going over things and what'd you see, what didn't you see. And you're always looking for an edge, and it just might be that one thing you don't see where you sit there and go, like, for me, look at, like, just for example, I talked about it on our TNT broadcast, is like Dallas on the power play really never exploited the down low play on the power play. So meaning, going from the goal line out, they had one great chance in game five where Brian Boucher and I were talking about it. I mean, I was clamoring for it. Say, look, it's not working going from the blue line in or from the flanks. You got to go down to the blue line and either attack, or I'm sorry, the goal line, either attack or you make the quick little pop out. They had a great play where they popped it out. They went from the sidewall, Robertson, I think, to Hintz, out to Johnston, and Stuart Skinner made an unbelievable pad save. They never went to that play again. They never went to that play again. And it's the analogy. I use this as an analogy of in baseball, where if you know a guy has a tough time hitting a curveball, you keep throwing the curveball until he proves that he can do it. Or it's like in football. If you're going up against a team that can't throw the ball, you put 9 or 10 in a box and go, look it, until you can put one 15 yards over my head, I'm not going to let you run. So the players on the power play, I mean, you know, like, do they see it? But I'm sure they see it, but sometimes they get so entrenched. Okay, well, this is what we're, you know, practicing, and then this is what we're going to do. You're paying these guys all this money to make the decisions and make plays on their own. They see it. They should go to it. But that was the one play I saw early, and I've seen in the playoffs that is open. And it doesn't mean it's going to be open all the time, but when it's there, you got to take it. They really never went to that. And the one chance, the one time they did, they almost scored a goal and they never went back to it the rest of the series. So that's just kind of one little thing that maybe DeBoer goes, hey, you know, I see this. And Maurice goes, oh, wow, okay. You know, I mean, you don't see everything. You like to think you see everything. Some coaches say they know everything and see everything. But at the end of the day, not everybody sees it the same way. And maybe it can have a positive effect. And I'm sure for Coach Chris Knobloch, look, he coached with Dave Haxtell in Philadelphia, right? So he's been around. You know, he's with the Rangers for a period of time. So I'm sure he has his resources as well. I would imagine Dave Haxtell would be one guy that he would certainly rely on at this juncture. All the information you can get can only be beneficial. Whether or not you apply it or not is totally up to you.
Prediction time. But Eddie, I'm sure you didn't know this, that NHL Wraparound actually has a mascot. So the mascot is actually, that's right, it's AJ the dog, and he is going to give his prediction first, and then we will give ours coming up.
AJ, who do you think is going to win in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the final? Daddy, it's very hard to say because Edmonton is a really good team. They've got a lot of good players. You know, they got McDavid, they got Dreisaitl, they've got Hyman. He's a good goal scorer. You know what I'm saying? And they've also got Bouchard on fifth. They're not really great at goal, if you know what I'm saying, because Skinner, I don't think he compares to Bobrovsky on Florida. So anyway, and then on Florida, you got a whole team that really works hard together. So I think that the Panthers, the Cats, I think they're the teams that are going to win. You know, the Oilers, they don't have the experience in the playoffs that the Panthers got last year from being in the finals against the Golden Knights. You know what I'm saying? So, Daddy, my pick is the Florida Panthers. All right. Thank you. You're welcome, Daddy.
So, we have one vote for the Florida Panthers. In 20 seconds, gentlemen, your predictions.
Hold on. Was that Rich Little? Is he still alive? It sounded like Rich Little doing the voiceover there. I don't know. You guys got connections. Look, I picked Dallas and Florida back in January. Dallas is obviously out. You know what? I love Vinny and Teresa Viola. So somehow, some way, I think the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup over the Edmonton Oilers.
How many games? How many games, Eddie?
I'm going to say five.
Wow. My prediction, and I was thinking about this as you were, that's why I asked you that. I think Florida Panthers are going to win. I've said that since the regular season. Vic can attest to that. And now that they're playing Edmonton, it's easy to say seven. You know, that's such a safe bet. So I'm going to go with five, and not because you said it, but because
You can say it because I said it. You just want to, you know, you want to be either hammered with everybody, or you're going to look like a hero. So why not?
Well, we're together again, Eddie. We're together again.
We're actually going all three of us here. Neil, you and I have picked 9 out of 14 series so far, and I'm in agreement. And here's the X factor. I'm also picking Florida in five. And the one guy that I'm going to feel most sorry for in this is Corey Perry. Lost in the finals with Montreal in 20, lost with Dallas in 21, lost with Tampa in 22, and he's going down again. So
And he's going to win that. He might win the Marian Hossa Award.
That's true. Very true. Eddie, once again, thanks so much for joining us and unwrapping the Stanley Cup Final. All the best during the offseason. We certainly look forward to seeing you on TNT again next season.
Okay, and mostly Eddie, good luck with the new grandchild coming into the world. It's fabulous, yes. And congratulations
I got two here, my granddaughter Audrey and my namesake Eddie, and I'm going to have one coming in July, and then we're going to have another one in December. So we're going to go from two to four pretty quick, and I don't know what kind of hockey team we're going to field here in a few years, but we will be competitive, I promise you that.
Good for you.
And we already have jerseys that you can purchase for them, because we're going to throw to a break courtesy of our friends at Migray.
Time now for a quick shout out to our sponsor. NHL Wraparound is brought to you by Migray, your source for game worn jerseys. Head to Migray.com to get your collection started today. Get real, get it from Migray. NHL Wraparound subscribers can take 10% off any hockey jersey when they order at Migray.com and use the coupon code WRAP10. Don't forget that coupon code WRAP10.
And don't forget that our website is up and running, www.nhlwraparound.com. You can see all of our episodes, including our special series, 1990 Forever, recapping the 30th anniversary of the New York Rangers 1994 Stanley Cup Championship. Episodes 1 and 2 are already live. Episode 3 will be the conference final against the New Jersey Devils. That will drop on Monday, June 10th. Then on Friday, the 14th, the 30th anniversary to the day, Mark Messier, Adam Graves, and Brian Leetch join us to go over the Vancouver series. And then the day of the parade, April 17th, our final episode in the series, Reflection, where team members, media, and fans share their stories on what that championship season meant to them. This is the human side of the story, brought to you by the Game 7 Group. And when we hit the Stanley Cup Final, there is nothing more in terms of leadership than just looking at the two captains, Connor McDavid and Alex Barkov of the Florida Panthers. McDavid's Oilers are led by probably the most dynamic player that perhaps the game has ever seen, but he's also transformed himself into an excellent 200-foot player as well. And for Barkov, his play is Selke Trophy winning with his defensive play, but he also has some great offensive creativity. So really succeeding for both of these players requires the best of not only themselves, but of their teammates as well. And at the Game 7 Group, transforming individuals into cohesive groups allows every team the potential to achieve extraordinary results. Game 7 Group offers various services such as team building events, plus coaching and speaking engagements aimed at improving team dynamics, productivity, and overall performance. We all want to be able to succeed in the big moment. Check out the Game 7 Group website at game7group.com/NHL wraparound to learn more. Right now, a special incentive offer awaits our podcast listeners. Take your team to the next step. The Game 7 Group will get you there. And Neil, I think there's nothing more that really symbolizes teamwork, commitment, dedication than the work that these athletes put in during the Stanley Cup playoffs. They get banged up, and realistically, we don't find out how banged up they are until after their playoff run ends.
No, you sure don't. And when you do find out is on breakup day. And breakup day, for those that don't know, is the day that the media gets to meet with the players and the coaches and talk about the playoffs and talk about the regular season. And it's supposedly the day that the players all go back to wherever they're from. But that's the day that you find out what the injuries are. The other day, the Rangers had their breakup day, and we found out that Jacob Trouba had actually suffered a broken ankle near the end of the regular season. It was mended, and he was okay, but he was still playing on a recently broken ankle that had mended during the playoffs. A lot of people criticizing his play during the playoffs, but don't realize that maybe he's a little bit ginger. Their best defenseman offensively, of course, Adam Fox, admitted to the media that although he could play on his knee, that he got injured against Washington, that it was still injured and that it was hit again in the second round, I believe, and that he had to play through it. But he said, again, they say, well, I was okay. It was just injured. But the thing that fans and media have to keep in mind when they watch the playoffs is you don't know how many of those guys are really injured. And some seriously injured. Last year, Matthew Tkachuk with the cracked sternum playing right through the Stanley Cup Finals against the Vegas Golden Knights, you find out later. And these guys are running at each other at 20 miles an hour on the ice, smashing into the board, smashing into each other, sustaining injuries, getting frozen up. You'll see players blocking shots, going off. They can barely get themselves off the ice, and they're back. And a couple of minutes later, well, guess what, folks? They got some freezing put on that injury, but that injury is still there. Those bruises are still there. Those bone bruises are still there. So when you're watching hockey players, think a little bit about, you know what? Some of these guys might be banged up, and we should give them the benefit of the doubt. It'll all come out at the end of the season.
You bet. And terrific message to all the fans out there about the commitment and what these guys play through. Neil, 2 years ago during the pre-state of the NHL, which is an address held by Gary Bettman prior to the start of the Stanley Cup final, the NHL interpreted that press conference into American Sign Language. And 2 years later, this final between Edmonton and Florida will mark the first time a major sports league airs games in sign language for the deaf community with play-by-play and color commentary. TNT did the Women's Deaf National Soccer Team match about a week ago. That was the first event. But great job by the founder and CEO of PXP, Bruce Christensen, to lead this effort. And these games will air for the deaf community on ESPN Plus in the States and Sportsnet Plus in Canada. And also a great job by the NHL trailblazing this event. And you could bet that other leagues will be following suit.
That certainly is trailblazing by the National Hockey League. It's going to be very interesting and just a great, great thing for people who are handicapped by the fact that they cannot hear the play-by-play and will now be able to at least read it. We want to thank MyGray and the Game 7 Group for being our sponsors. Without them, we wouldn't be here. Thanks to all our listeners. Don't forget to send questions or comments to nhlwraparound@gmail.com. Don't forget to visit our website, which is nhlwraparound.com. It's really fun to look at that. You can get all the episodes there. And again, another place that you can see what events we're doing and a lot of other things. And until next week, when we're going to know more about where Lord Stanley's Cup might be going, we'll say goodbye for now.
Thanks for joining us on the NHL Wraparound Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to stay up to date on all the NHL action.